Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back, Richard. This week we are going to talk... This week's all about kids. More specifically, it's all about parenting kids.
Parenting children.
Right. And what better way to start out talking about parenting kids than to talk about a fantastic book that was written to...
Years ago. You know, I always forget how long ago that was.
We published the
Seems
first...
Seems like we just did it.
Right. We published the first... the initial version in 2012.
2012, right.
And so we published the revised part one
right
last year.
And with any luck...
Part two
is on its way.
Soon.
That's right. Part two is
on
its way.
We are on the Star Wars schedule. So that, it's one per year. No. Part one was in 2016. Part two will be 2017. But no.
And part three will be 2017.
Yes. Because we're on a mission now. We've cleared some things in our schedule, so we're going to have these things done.
That's right.
But today we're going to provide a little bit of an overview about our perspective of parenting.
That's right.
Because throughout this week, we're going to be talking about parenting in general, but more specifically, parenting maybe a little bit differently than most people think about parenting.
We spend a significant portion of our practice working with children and working with parents.
Right.
We are also parents of children of various ages. And so over the years, we feel that we've learned some things about parenting, working with parents, working with children, and we've sort of collected them into this book, Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child.
Right.
And so what we want to do is talk generally about some of the fundamental, they're not beliefs that we have, they're fundamental practices or perspectives that we've developed over time that we want to share because we think they're effective and we think they're a gentler and, I guess that's a word, and more effective way to raise emotionally healthy children to become emotionally healthy adults.
Right. Okay. Which is, well,
That's another book, but it's but the foundation is this first book, Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child.
Right.
And there are some perspectives in there that we want to share.
Right.
So we're going to take this week, each day we'll discuss a somewhat different topic.
Right.
And at the end of the week, hopefully there'll be this accumulation of wisdom, parenting wisdom. I hate to call it wisdom because parenting is such a difficult and tenuous process, you know.
Yeah.
Very few, I mean, as we'll see in a couple of days, there's no such thing as a perfect parent.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, when we think about sort of our model or a component or components of our model of parenting, we sort of see it as a three-legged stool for the most part, right? There's three aspects of parenting that are critical to really raising healthy children who are well developed, emotionally controlled, emotionally regulated. Probably is a better word.
Emotional regulation is a word that you'll hear throughout the week.
Yeah,
we'll be talking about that.
And the three components are behavior management,
managing their behavior,
and how that changes over time, which is going to be
That's key.
Yeah,
because one of the recurring themes, another one of the recurring themes you're going to hear in this week. Is your parenting has to change as your child matures.
Right.
And many parents aren't aware of that, that you need to change as your children change, because when adolescence strikes, parents want to clamp down, and that's moving in entirely the wrong direction.
Right.
But we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So behavior management.
Behavior management. The second is attention, and that has to do with the parent-child interactions.
Right.
Which also changes over time as the child develops. And then the third is love, or the parent-child relationship.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we have managing behavior, mm-hmm. parent-child interactions, and parent-child relationship.
Right.
And those are the three key aspects to raising children who mm-hmm. who are well well-controlled, well-managed, well... and when I say well-managed, I'm talking about managing themselves.
Managing themselves. The ability to manage their own emotions and their own behavior.
Right, right. And as we were saying, things change over time for kids.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And the demands that we have as parents change. Mm-hmm. And so while there are certain things that we need to expect at 2, the things that we need to expect at 15 are mm-hmm. are pretty different.
Right.
So, though sometimes the temper tantrums are a little bit similar. But, you know, generally speaking, uh-huh. there mm-hmm. are some differences in some of the things that we need mm-hmm. to do. So I thought we would talk briefly about the three pieces.
Right. But there is an overarching theme mm-hmm. in our book that no matter what leg of the stool we're talking about, mm-hmm. no matter what age we're talking about, the recurring theme in our book is teach, don't punish.
Right.
Okay. That is, of all the things we worked on in that book, I think the key principle is we should be teaching our kids
right.
more and punishing them less.
Right.
And that's the whole key to what to our belief about effective parenting.
And our expectation is that, because of our experience with this, is that as soon as we say that, some of you will switch off. Because a lot of parents are looking for, you know, when they come to see us, they're looking for, in essence, new ways to punish. They want to know new consequences. What mm-hmm. should I do when they do this? And mm-hmm. how can I get them to stop doing that? And what they're really asking for are new ways to punish.
I just had an epiphany.
Ooh.
And you'll like it because...
I felt the electricity.
This is a good one.
Okay.
When I was younger...
Rather recording.
When I was younger, I worked in a jewelry and appliance store.
Okay.
And it was at a time when color TV mm-hmm. was first... I knew you'd like this. When it was first coming out.
Okay.
Because you don't remember black and white TV, except as Turner Classics.
Right.
Okay. There was a time when TV didn't have color. So anyway, color, and people wanted to come in, and they wanted to buy these TVs, and they would always say, well, what's the best one? And our answer was always the same. The best color TV you have, you will ever have, is the last one you will buy. They're going to continue to get better. And the best one you have will be the last one you buy.
Right.
Okay. Same with parenting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a much better parent now.
Oh, right.
The best you're going to be mm-hmm. is the last thing you do.
Right.
You're going to be a better parent at 80 than you were at 40.
Okay.
You're going to be better at 40 than you were at 25.
Right.
Don't you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, you've raised kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're a grandparent. And we know that we're
right.
better now than we were 20 years ago.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so your parenting is going to get better over time.
Right.
Okay? So don't try to be perfect right now.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let me get right to point number one. People come in here and you talk about they want to get ways to punish.
Mm-hmm.
Many parents want to parent the way their parents...
Right.
You know, well, my parents would never have tolerated this.
Right.
Well, I would have been slapped until I was silly if mm-hmm. I had said mm-hmm. that to my parent.
Right.
Well, you know, my parents were tough on me and my parents spanked me and my parents did this and, you know, I should be doing that to my children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No.
Right.
The context is completely different today.
Right.
And you begin with that truth.
Right.
That as much as you may want a parent... the way your father parented you,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to happen.
Right.
The context is too different.
Right. Yeah. No, I completely agree. And what we often say to people who make those kinds of statements is, you know, like when we think about spanking and some right. of those kinds of things, we think, okay, yes, your parents punished you in those ways. Yes, they managed you in those ways. And you turned out okay. Because that's what they always say. My parents did this and I turned out okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the question to ask is, was it necessary?
Right.
Did they need to parent you that way? Did you mm-hmm. need to be spanked in that, you know, that often or that mm-hmm. in that way? Did you need to be punished in those ways to turn out okay?
Did you need to be afraid?
Right.
To be, you know, and that was the other thing, that many parents a generation or two ago ruled by fear.
Right.
Was it necessary?
Right. You know? Wait till your father gets home.
Right.
You know, that's parenting out of fear. And we don't want our kids to manage their behavior out of fear. We want them to manage their behavior out of understanding what is right and wrong,
right,
and making a conscious decision about what to do. Because what happens is that when we parent out of fear, as soon as the risk of whatever it is that you're afraid of goes away, there's nothing that prevents you from doing the behavior.
Right.
So that's why we see kids who are terrified of their father behave very, very badly at school or in other settings, because the father's not there, so the father can't do anything.
Right.
You know, that's why moms in those kinds of situations can't manage the child, because the kid's not afraid of the mom. And the child hasn't learned how to manage themselves. And so, you know, as long as the fear, whatever it is that the fear comes from, not there, then there's nothing that regulates the behavior.
Right. And in the past, many parents did raise their children in a fear-based system.
Right.
And you simply can't do that today.
Right.
Kids have too many options.
Right.
They can leave. They can do... When we were punished as children, even when you were punished as a child, you didn't have many other options.
Right.
You know, when things were taken away, there wasn't very much to take away,
right,
first of all. And today, the world is just too rich. Kids have too many other options.
Right.
Okay. So you can't really... And even if one parent is able to rule effectively, the child will be obedient with this parent, you haven't really accomplished the goal of that child managing him or herself in other contexts.
Right.
I mean, and so you haven't finished the job yet.
Right.
So even if you're successful, you haven't finished the task of raising a child who can self-regulate.
Right. Yeah. So it's an ever-evolving task, parenting.
That's right. Because remember... that when that kid is 18, you step back and let him go.
Right.
Okay. At that point, society sees that kid as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing else you can do except hire expensive attorneys if they get into trouble.
Right.
And so remember that your final goal is to let go and they're on their own.
Right.
And so you can't keep ruling by fear and intimidation and punishment when they're 15, 16, 17 years old.
Right.
Because as soon as they step away from you...
Right.
What's going to hold them in place?
Yeah,
okay?
Absolutely.
So let's move. We want you to move away from punishment.
Right.
But we will replace it with something that we think is more effective in the long run.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. The context is different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number two.
I don't... You started this list.
Schools are different.
I did. Oh, okay. I didn't...
Schools are really different today.
Well, that's true. That's
okay.
True. I didn't know what list you were going by.
The context is different.
Okay, right.
Right? I mean, we can't... My parents couldn't raise me the way their parents raised them.
Okay? Right.
Every generation is completely different.
Right.
You cannot go back and raise... My dad couldn't do what his dad could do.
Right.
I can't do what my dad did.
And the importance of schools being different is the fact that the expectations of kids are different. You know... Students now are expected to do things that we didn't have. We weren't expected to do.
No.
And so there's that aspect, but it even extends, you know, what we've talked before about, you know, school is sort of a microcosm for society.
Right.
And so when we're expecting kids at younger and younger ages to do more and more advanced things, that translates out into the community as well.
Right.
And so we are expecting kids to do more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And not that we're putting them to work and doing all that kind of stuff, but, you know, when kids behave like kids, we start to get frustrated because, well, no, he should be doing this or he should be doing that. And, you know, and there's some unrealistic expectations that we're placing on them.
And schools have always been great sorting machines. You know, we've used our schools to sort kids into... Who's going to Ivy League colleges? Who's going to top-tier universities? Who's not going to college?
Mm-hmm.
Schools really make that decision.
Right.
Well, today's schools are completely different
right.
than schools were in mm-hmm. our day. Mm-hmm. You know, like my mother said, well, my kids went to school and you just went to school.
Right.
And the teachers took care of everything and you did your... That's not how schools work today.
Right. They,
and my mother has a hard time understanding the schooling that my children are going through.
Right.
And she said, why are you worried about all this? Why are you, where is this pressure coming
mm-hmm.
from?
Mm-hmm.
My kids went to high pressure, and they weren't elite academies, but
right.
schools have become high pressure places
right.
for students, for teachers, and for administrators.
Right.
It's a completely different world in education.
And they are understanding that the risks are great.
We don't know what's going to happen with this great experiment that lawmakers have foisted on Americans. There are millions of children who are not going to graduate with a high school diploma.
Mm-hmm.
There are 50 million school children in the United States, and about 30 or 40% will not pass state tests. And if they don't, they're not going to have a high school diploma.
Right.
That makes them unemployable.
Right.
I mean, we're raising a large number of students who will not end up with a regular high school diploma
right.
simply because they can't pass a state test. They've been in school, they'll get a certificate of completion, they will not get a high school diploma.
Right.
I don't know what that's going to lead to.
Right.
I don't know whether businesses will change and start hiring people who have certificates
mm-hmm.
and diploma, or if they will continue to access to demand a high school diploma.
Right.
But we just don't know.
Right. The military doesn't even take you anymore.
They won't take you without a high school diploma.
Right.
And so you don't even have that option.
Right.
And so, and now this is all public.
Right.
Because if you don't score well on the test, you're going to go into intensive classes.
Right.
And you're they're going, everybody's going to know that you're not succeeding. I hate to
right.
call anybody a failure, but that you're not succeeding. It's public knowledge now,
right.
whether you're an individual student or a teacher or a school.
Right, mm-hmm. right, right.
Everybody knows.
Now, the third piece, I peeked at your notes. The third piece is that there are a lot more opinions now. There are many more opinions now
mm-hmm.
about what good parenting is
mm-hmm.
than what used to be
mm-hmm.
Around. You know, remember Dr. Spock?
Yeah.
Right? You
mm-hmm.
know, he was sort of the epitome of what parenting is supposed to be.
That's right.
Today, though, there, you know, you go to the parenting section of the bookstore,
oh my God.
And there are hundreds, if not thousands, mm-hmm. of books,
mm-hmm.
Especially if you look on Amazon, thousands of books mm-hmm. on parenting.
Right. And our children,
all with different opinions.
Our children go to public schools. And in any public school, you have everything from, I want my children to be in uniforms.
Right.
To my children should be able to wear whatever they want.
Right.
I want my children, I'm on a haircut code. I'm on a hair and makeup and jewelry code. And other parents say, I want none of that.
Right.
My kids should be able to wear whatever they
right.
want. They
Freedom
should be able to look
up.
That's right.
right.
And so how does the principal balance these two
right.
Extremes?
Right.
When you read, I think I mentioned this to you the other day, when you read the, what are they called at the end of article, people's opinions?
Comments.
Comments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When you read those comments and you think, wow, people really have varying
yeah.
and diverse opinions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you read an article and think, okay, this makes sense. Then you read their comments and you think, wow, it really is a diverse group out there.
It is. Yeah. I mean, you have everything. You have both extremes presented in those comments
right.
sections of yeah, yeah. It's,
right.
Sometimes it's fun to read those, though.
No, it's not. I read them.
It's frustrating
think,
to read them.
How much time do I have to spend reading these things?
Yeah.
And then the last that we talked about punishment earlier.
Right.
One of the things that's happening, I see more and more, is that if you, parents do reach for punishment,
mm-hmm.
you know, how can I punish my kids more effectively?
Right.
One of the things to keep in mind is that if you insist on punishing your children,
mm-hmm.
and many parents will insist on punishing their children, you better make absolutely sure that your children are absolutely certain that you really love them.
Right.
Because what the kids are telling us is, I don't think my parents like me.
Right.
That's how they're translating these harsh punishments.
Right.
Parents see them as tough love.
Right.
Parents see them as, this is for your own good.
Right.
I can tell you that insecure teenagers
right.
see these punishments as, my parents hate me.
Right.
They don't, they only like me when I'm doing what they want me to do.
Right.
That's conditional love. And if your child feels conditional love, you're not going to have the kind of relationship that you really want.
And even if we judge those opinions to be somewhat histrionic.
Right. I mean,
even so, the problem is that that's the culture that we live in right now.
That's where our kids are.
That's what they believe, whether that's because of their friends or whether it's because of what they're seeing on TV or other social media.
Right.
That's what they believe. And so we have to take that into consideration.
You know, imagine the kid going to his friends and saying, man, my parents would never do that to me.
Right.
What does that do to a child?
Right.
It says to the child, you know, your parents don't value you.
Right.
They don't. They may not intend it that way, but that's how the kids are taking it.
Absolutely.
If you're going to punish your kids better be absolutely certain that this is unconditional love. And that's why I'm always a bit leery about punishment.
Right.
I don't know how you compensate for that feeling that you could engender in kids. Plus the pushback that you get, that if you start fighting with your kids, kids are going to fight back.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a problem. So, all right. So if you want to know more about our opinions of parenting, you can check out our handbook for Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child, Part 1, Behavior
Part
Management.
Is available.
It's available on Kindle, and it's you can follow the link in the show notes to get to the Amazon store to pick that up.
And I submitted my grades today for my teaching.
Yeah.
And so now I can turn my attention to finishing the last chapter of Part 2.
Part 2.
So that should be out. That'll be out this month. Part 2 will be out this month.
Fantastic. And so we will have that available. We'll give you guys an announcement when that's
right.
available. We'll put links in up and everything. Part 2 is attention, of course, as we said earlier. So, but you can check out Part 1. It's already available on Amazon Kindle. And, you know, let us know if you have any questions or comments or thoughts about that. One last quick note. We mentioned this all last week.
Right.
But at PsychRage, we have a contest going on for our UK listeners right now. And
that's
that
right.
is...
We don't get that, do we?
No.
We don't get to do that.
No. But we have partnered with Lumi, L-U-M-I-E. And you can go to our website. There's a link in the show notes. It's psychrage.org/Lumi, and there's a whole bunch of that is a long URL, but if you go to the show notes, you can click on the link there. But if you're a UK listener,
URL.
If you're a UK listener, you can click on there, and there are some instructions, and you can read the terms and conditions and everything for the contest. But basically, you can win a Lumi body clock, which is it's like an alarm that wakes you up with light, and
I love that thing.
It is really cool.
I love that.
Now, I've learned more, because last week we were talking about that we really weren't sure of some of the information and everything. I learned more. I'm sure that there's a way to get it here in the United States, but Lumi is primarily a UK-based company. And so I'm not sure if you can get them here in the United States. I will assume that you can, because...
If Amazon doesn't have
the world is pretty small. But they're fantastic things.
I love the idea.
Yeah. I really want to get... There's a couple of things that I'd like to get from there. Because that waking up with light as opposed to that...
I'd like to do that on
frustrating
weekend.
Sound would be... Yeah.
Use that clock on weekends.
Yeah. Yeah. Have the sun start coming up
at sleep,
3 a.m. That'd be awesome.
Like living in the North Pole.
That's right. So, all right. So, but if you're a UK listener, check that out.
Enter
really into
cool.
the contest, and that'd be awesome. I think I'm sure you'll really enjoy it. So, all right. Anything else?
That's it.
All right. This was a little bit longer of a
weekday
podcast.
I apologize.
It's his fault.
Once
he starts talking.
Once
we
start talking about this stuff, it just goes on and on.
Yep. So, all right. But until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.